This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Record Celtic podcast. Back after a long summer, my name is Daniel Cott and I'm delighted to be joined by Michael Gannon and Fraser Wilson. Guys, how are you?
Very well.
Afternoon, chaps. I hope you're enjoying this glorious Scottish summer. I've just had to squeegee my back lawn. It's so wet. it's like the hand in pitch for that game against, was it Hungary?
Georgia, you're right.
Against Georgia, sorry, yeah. I was trying to drain the pitch.
Well, I'm glad to see you both, but you in particular, Mick, you've been on your travels this summer. You've been away with Celtic in Japan.
I have, yeah. Slight contrast from 35 degree heat and sunshine in Japan last week to this in Scotland. Yeah, it's a bit of a come down. Yeah, a week with Celtic out in the Far East. Really enjoyable week. It was great place to see and experience. We also got a wee kind of view behind the scenes with Celtic and a couple of open training sessions, a couple of games. Get to see kind of Brendan Rodgers working again at the club. Yeah, it was a great trip. It's an all round brilliant experience.
I wanted to ask you about that, actually, the Brendan Rodgers. I understand you watched him training, and it was a bit of an experience to see you kind of peek behind the curtain.
It was. I mean, there were a couple of open training sessions, and I don't think they would have had kind of revealing any secrets in these sessions. I mean, it was really, really hot, so they weren't going through the full rigmarole. But what you could see was really interesting. I think it's clear. See, when you see Brendan Rodgers on the training ground, it's like watching an animal in his natural habitat. Just looks so comfortable and control. A real aura about him with players. It was quite interesting watching him working in certain patterns of play. The way he interacts with players is interesting as well. I mean, he's very encouraging and cajoling. He's very positive with them. You can see them kind of reacting. It's quite funny. Some of the younger players, he was really encouraging. You can see them kind of puffing their chest out a wee bit. And it was intriguing because some of the patterns of play we saw them working on, like the previous next night in games, actually coming to fruition. And I said, that was what we watched the night before in the training ground, and actually see it coming from kind of the planning stages to actually put into practice. Really interesting, quite clear. I mean, listen, if you watch any kind of top-level coach in action, you would be kind of impressed. But when you see Rodgers at it on the training ground, you're just looking at, you just get the feeling of a guy who's a master at work. A guy who's got, 700 games as a manager under his belt, completely controlled and composed, knows what he's doing, got a vision, great at communicating with his squad. I think if any Celtic fans had any kind of, I don't think there are any lingering doubts about his ability as a manager, but I think the kind of reluctance to kind of accept him back after his departure the last time round, I think they should put that to one side and just be kind of comfortable in the knowledge of a guy in charge who knows exactly what he's doing. But that's the kind of feeling I got from watching him.
I mean, like you say, Mick Fraser, a lot of fans were kind of a bit miffed when it was Rodgers coming back to replace Ange after Ange had been so successful, but there's no doubt, candidate-wise, he's the perfect candidate to be Celtic manager.
It's almost seamless, isn't it? I mean, if they could afford to get him back, there really was no competition for that position, to be honest. Not just what he achieved before, but just he knows what's required at Parkhead. He knows the demands. I think he can work with that squad that's at his disposal very easily, because I think it will suit his style of play. Everything about it's just so seamless that I think Ange Postecoglou what a remarkable job he did, but I think he'll pretty quickly be forgotten. Never, not forgotten about, because he deserves his place in Celtic history. He did a remarkable job, but fans will very quickly move on from him, I think. And that for anyone else, that would have been a very difficult task.
And Mick, where else in Japan then did you head to? You were over there for a week?
Yeah, Celtic were based in Yokohama, and then they moved to Osaka. So had the joy of the bullet train. Osaka to Yokohama is about 350 miles. Done it in 2 hours, which is like going from Glasgow to kind of Birmingham, which in this country would take about 3 days.
Scary-looking things, Mick. I mean, were you a bit anxious getting on it?
No, they're really smooth, actually. It's just actually quite a strange sensation. They're great. Things actually work in Japan, which is a strange sensation, given the way our country is just now. Quicker getting from Yokohama to Osaka than from Cope Bridge to Glasgow City Centre these days. the team went there on the bullet train as well. The two good games, played against Yokohama F Marinos, Angie's old team, and they played against Gamba Osaka. Marinos, a slightly better team than Osaka, but good tests. Just different ways of playing. They're two good sides, middle of the seasons. So good tests at a time when Celtic were a bit rough and ready. But yeah, and then obviously you get to do a wee bit of sightseeing out there as well and get to experience some of the delights of Japan, try some of the food. It's kind of strange at half-time, rather than a pie and a bovril, I had octopus balls at half-time in one of the games in Osaka, which was a slightly different sensation than a steak pie or a Kelly pie or something like that.
Were they nice?
Oh, nice, yeah. Oh, that was quite nice. Yeah, I thought I quite enjoyed them, actually.
Is it like being an armor celebrity?
I didn't know octopus had balls.
How many?
That's the thing. One for each tentacle.
Sorry for some cruising, isn't it? That's quite a good wee joint to get sent on.
I know, I was slumming it, man. I just had a 3-hour hop, skip and jump across Europe to Marbella. Poor me.
In La Manga, that's not too bad. You're on a heatwave, that's not too bad.
I've just got back to my usual tone of Pele Wally after resembling a beetroot for the last 2 weeks.
So you mentioned the games over there, Mick. I know obviously that the 6-4 game is a bit mad, but I think all in all, a good workout for Celtic. Obviously, at the weekend, the 1-1 draw with Wolves got Celtic again with a better team. But the defence was a bit makeshift, I think it's safe to say. Stephen Welsh and Liam Scales, I thought Liam Scales was really good at the weekend. I thought he stood out. But Celtic, obviously, for the first game of the season next weekend, will be hoping that, you know, Starfelt, Navroki, at least them will be back in contention.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there was any longer term concern over these guys. They just weren't rested at the weekend. I don't think it's an ideal way to start a season when you've got Arthur Johnson coming back from a long term absence injury, Kelman Carter-Vickers still coming back from his operation in the last season, and then Starfield and Rocky just in the door, not played yet, not had a chance to get any minutes with Celtic. So I don't think it's an ideal situation to start the season. I think the picture will change quite quickly, right enough. I don't think Johnson's close, Carter-Vickers close, and Starfield and Rocky may actually play against Bobal in the James Forrest test in the morning. So that I don't think it's any panic. I certainly didn't get that feeling from the manager at any point in time out there, or even this weekend. He's any kind of concern. I think he can muddle through in the short term. I don't think he need to panic too much. I think we're fairly well equipped down the line. I think they're in decent enough shape. As I say, it's not the ideal what you want. You want your full team out in the first day of the season, but they've got enough quality in the ranks. Liam Scales is an interesting one. I thought he played well at the weekend as well. I think the assumption is that he will eventually end up back at Aberdeen, where he did well in the kind of second half of last season after a bit of a kind of struggling start. He might persuade the manager, might be persuaded to keep him around. He's a handy guy to have. I still think he will end up back at Aberdeen. I still think he's still there just now because he need to cover there just now. I suspect as the window goes on, he might move on. I think Stephen Welsh, I think, will be kept as well. I think he's a guy who's a proven performer, pretty reliable as a backup. I don't think he's going to be forced to be into the first team anytime soon, but He's also handy in terms of these European squad lists as a homegrown player. You can have him in that squad as a backup, and he's not taken away from the overseas list, you know, this squad A list, squad B list, and all that stuff. It gets a bit complicated. He's handy to have there as well. So I think I feel well equipped. I'm interested to see what happens to Carl Starfelt. There's a lot of talk about him and his future. I don't think he's one that Rodgers wants to let go. But if something comes in that's decent money and he finds it, he might let him. And then I think if that happened, he would get back out of the market. I still think there's still work to be done at Celtic in terms of incomings. So it'll be interesting. I think there will be kind of twists and turns in the market over the next few weeks.
That's interesting, Mick, isn't it? Because if there's one big difference between Rodgers and Ange Postecoglou, it was as soon as a player showed any interest in perhaps moving away, then he'd be gone, wouldn't he? Nice. Whereas I don't think Brendan Rodgers said, just for instance, Carl Starfelt, if he did start making noises about looking elsewhere, I think Rodgers would immediately cast him aside and look to shift him on, would he?
Yeah, I think maybe lessons learned that one with Celtic. I think maybe perhaps I remember during Rodgers' first spell there was problems. I remember Didrik Boyata, the club knocked back £9 million, and he took the half a wee bit. Think back how inconsistent Boyata was. That was
a lot of money for Boyata.
In hindsight, I took that money when they get chance. Mm-hmm. He took the half a wee bit, didn't he? And you look the following year, you look at maybe guys like Chris Iyer and Austin Edward kind of hanging around and maybe wanting to go. And I think maybe lessons have been learned. If they want to go, let them go. And I think Celtic have learned to trust the recruitment. I think we've seen that in recent years. I think the 10 in a row failed campaign was a wee bit of a loss of confidence in their own ability to recruit. So I think they brought in a few guys that season who didn't do well. When they brought in three or four players, that just did not work. Your kind of Barkas, Ayetis, and these kind of guys, Shane Duffy didn't work, surprisingly, as well. Laxell, these guys, they didn't work. So I think they lost a bit of confidence a wee bit that time, but I think that's back because the recruitment's been so on the money in the last two seasons that I think there would be a confidence. If someone did go, they'll bring in somebody else, which I think is reflected in the kind of confidence that the managers had. I mean, they've lost, obviously, Jota. Aaron Moyes retired. So that's the two main departures from last season's team. And you think that might weaken them from the way they were last year, but then you go back even further, they lost Jakimakis and Juranovic, but they already had replacements brought in before they even left. Mm-hmm. And I think now there's a confidence that someone does want to go, take the money, and they'll buy somebody else. So I don't think there's any kind of stress about losing players. And now they've lost Jota, who's arguably maybe the best player they had. Arguably, I think he's in one of the best players they had. And I don't think that's caused too many sleepless nights. And likewise, I think they would be confident to replace anyone in that team. I think they will be bids. I think they will be tested. I think the likes of Hatate, Avada, Starfelt, I think there could be tests in a few weeks with these guys. But that's becomes new success. If you play well and do well, win trophies, teams are going to look at you. You'd rather that than not. So I still think there could be some outgoings. I think there could be some serious moves in that direction. But I think there were a confidence they can go and replace these guys anyway.
I thought as well, Fraser, at the weekend, Kyogo, at least the first half an hour, he was absolutely outstanding. He scored the goal. He hit the bar with this like audacious chip as well. I don't want it to happen, but I'm really surprised there hasn't been more interest in him. I could see plenty of teams being after a player his quality.
Aye, well, I think without a shadow of doubt, he is Celtic's best player. Mick was right, Jota was one of them, but I thought getting £25 million for Jota was an incredible bit of business. I don't think he was that good a player, as good as he was. So that's a no-brainer. I think Kyogo is, though, and as you say, that goal on, what day was it?
Saturday,
aye. It's looks as sharp as ever, just that predatory instinct. I mind speaking to the big divine at the back for Inverness after the Scottish Cup final, and he just explained to for half an hour Kyogo done nothing, just stood about, and then in an instant, bang, caught him napping, and they were 1-0 down. And that's what it was like when he pickpocketed the Wolves defender before curling home the opener on Saturday. I think the guy's just unplayable at times. So I do think he is Celtic's most important player. And now I've forgotten your question. What was it?
Just I think on the offers that could come in for him, I mean, I definitely think there will be offers like Mick in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I don't really know so much down south. Mick will probably know better than me. I don't know if a big six club down south would be tempted to go for a player in the Scottish Premiership, but I certainly expect that his form in the last two seasons will attract interest for across Europe. He's a great player and probably the best striker in the Scottish Premiership, without a doubt. But equally, I think Cameron Carter-Vickers is every bit as important for Celtic at the back. And when he comes back, it'll be a formidable at the back. So.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And see,
I think Kyogo, I think they can. I don't think they should be too concerned about losing Kyogo. I mean, he's got a new four-year contract, so it's going to cost mega money to get him. He's not going to go top six in England. They're in the market for strikers who are 70, 80, 100, 200 million quid.
Yeah.
He's not in that market. So you're looking at the bottom end of the Premier League, and they don't really go for little kind of quick, kind of slight centre forwards. They like the big brutes, don't they? They're seeing anything top end of the Championship. So that market, I don't think, maybe Germany, something like that, they'd be looking at them. I think that's maybe a worry. But would they spend £25 million on them? Very few, there's only a slight band of clubs that could do that. Yeah. So I think they're okay in terms of that one just now.
I'd rather doubt just saying don't expect Ange to come in for them. I think that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I don't see him being a Spurs player, to be honest with you. You could be wrong. He's got all ability. I still kind of work out how he's still kicking about in Japan at 26. Really, I mean, we're talking about late bloomer. I mean, he's going to be a PE teacher at one point, wasn't he? I think up to 22.
Shades right.
It's just, total late bloomer. I mean, he's 26 when he came to Celtic, like 28 now. He's that age. So if it's going to happen, it'll happen this year or next summer.
Very true.
Obviously, he's got a couple of injury concerns. He's a problem with his shoulder, but I don't think it's that big a deal with his shoulder, I think. And Brendan Rodgers mentioned they make these subs, they will need subs at some point. It's up to him when he does that. Because I think his shoulder pops out and again. And it's maybe cuts for a couple of days and it pops back in. There have been players like that all through the time. I mean, I remember Kieran Tierney had a similar problem for a while. Johnny Hayes was one. Johnny Hayes during games. Johnny Hayes
would go up. Boxing, mine back in the 80s.
Put the shoulder back in, get on with it. The rest of us will be lying low for about a fortnight, wailing. I don't think it's a concern in that respect. Regardless of Kyogo.
See, just on the signings coming in, I think it's five players that have been brought in so far. And I definitely think there's been a bit of a mood amongst the Celtic support that maybe there could be a big blue chip signing coming this summer, a big money kind of addition to the squad. I think purely because the squad was almost perfect at the end of last season, it felt. Do you see that being the case, Mick? I mean, I know Rodgers said he wants to stick to the model.
Depends how you define kind of blue chip. They're not going to go and spend £50 million on a player. Because I think, unfortunately, the £15 million player comes with a wage package that would blow apart the structure at Celtic as well. And that can cause more problems than it's worth. So I don't see the kind of £15 million wide man coming in. I think they'll stick to the kind of, what you might see is a higher level of potential coming in. Sometimes the blue chip signs don't know their marquee signs until afterwards. I mean, nobody really thought that Jota and Carter Vickers were going to be marquee signs, but it turns out a year later they were. Nobody knew that Odson Edouard was going to be the marquee sign and he came on loan and they paid £9 million for him and he didn't become that. So I think they will spend money. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they coughed up £8-9 million on another player. Perhaps I think another attacking player, another wide player, might be the one that he's thinking about. Rodgers thinking about. But that market as well, you may have to wait for that market. That might be as the window goes on. I don't think he's in any particular panic or rush just now. But I think as the window goes on, you might see teams failing to get Champions League football and having to cash in certain players. You might see then them going and getting a £7-8 million kind of wide man. And the trick for Celtic is to get guys, is that the Jota is, listen, forget where Jota went to, right? Forget the fact he went to Saudi League. But Jota is the absolute manifestation of the model working. Buy a guy for £6 million and sell him for 25. So you start off, you buy it for £1 million, sell it for £8 million. Buy him for £2 million, sell him for 10. Get it for 4, sell for 15. Get one for 6, 7, sell for 25. That is absolutely working at its max. Mm-hmm. That's the Celtic model in practice. So I think that's the kind of market. And again, a guy like Jota, who is a kind of Benfica B, a lot of potential to go and kick on playing regular football. So I think that's what they're going to be scratching about again, that kind of market. 10, 15, 20 million pound players, forget it.
Do you know what I'd love, Fraser, right? And I get this has been greedy and this is like the wee boy in me, right? But some of my favourite transfer day memories are like breaking news, Celtic have signed Craig Bellamy out of nowhere, Robbie Keane out of nowhere. I would love it if Celtic did that. Maybe the last, like you say, Mick, someone's maybe frozen out in England, doesn't make out a squad down there, someone who's ready-made. I can't think of a name off the top of my head.
Oh, you're talking about Harry Kane, aren't you?
but those days are gone because the market's changed so much since then. I mean, even Robbie Keane, turn up. Robbie Keane, I don't know the ins and outs of wages bills, right, but back then Robbie Keane might have been earning 45, 50 grand a week.
Aye.
And so they can match half, at least even half of it. These guys now at that level, England, that kind of name, they're earning 150 grand a week.
Aye. At least
they can't pay even a tenth of their wages for those kind of deals. So those kind of moves, I think, are a thing of the past. The kind of, the Bellamy's and the Keane's and all that stuff. excuse me. I just think the market's changed so radically. I mean, I think the money in England now is crazy. I mean, you could be a backup right back in England getting 60 grand a week. I mean, it's just phenomenal the money that they're making down there, and that's just unrealistic. So Celtic are forced to go into a market that's different. They need to find a wee gem and take a punt and polish them up, which is, again, goes back to having Rodgers as a manager is vital, because he's the guy that develops players. He will polish them up and make them better players. He's done it before and he'll do it again.
There's even been talk of Tierney maybe coming back on loan, but even his money would be way out of Celtic's reach, you'd have thought.
Just what Mike said, exactly. Look, Tierney himself will have to look bigger as well. I mean, the heartstrings might pull towards Parkhead for Kieran Tierney, but I'm sure it'll be well advised to be looking higher than a return to Scottish football.
And also,
towards Scottish Celtic.
As amazing a player Tierney is, and he is a better player than Greg Taylor, but Greg Taylor's been brilliant for Celtic. You don't really need that. Do you know what I mean?
I've been saying it for 2 years. Greg Taylor, especially when he plays for Scotland as well, when he's really up against it, I don't think he ever lets anyone down, and he gets better and better every time you see him. I'd honestly should be a Celtic left back for years to come, as far as I'm concerned. But don't see them as much as Mick, so we might have other opinions.
You mentioned earlier, Mick, that obviously Celtic's final pre-season game is, we're recording this on Monday, it's tomorrow night, Tuesday, against Athletic Bilbao. It's obviously a pre-season friendly, but it's also James Forrest's testimonial. And I thought we should maybe just touch on what his status is at Celtic. I would consider him a genuine Celtic legend.
Listen, without a doubt, he's won 22 medals, winners' medals. 22? I mean, it's ridiculous in 13, 14 years. And he's contributed to every one of these ones over the years. I mean, listen, there's been times when he's more influential than others. The last couple of seasons, maybe not as much as he has been in the previous years, but I don't think anyone can doubt for a second that the impact and influence James Forrest had at Celtic. He's been a phenomenal servant. When you look back at the Rodgers' first reign, he was one of the star turns during that period. Rodgers, I mean, I think at that time, he had a few injuries and he looked as though he was heading out the door after Ronnie Dyla. Rodgers came in and said, "You're going nowhere." Fixed him up, got him playing, and then within a year or two, he was cleaning the board at the Player of the Year Awards and all that stuff. Scored vital goals in Europe. Then we're going back many years to Shakhtar Karagandy. Scored a winner to get to the Champions League. Cup final goals, cup semi-final goals. He goes against an old firm derbies. The guy has made a complete his impression on the club over 13, 14 years has been incredible. And I think he's maybe taken for granted a wee bit, James. I think latterly, the fact that people can say it's all less so, and they start to remember that how much of a player he's been for Celtic, he deserves a huge turnout. I think he'll get a good turnout as well, and he deserves it. A tremendous servant. He had chances to go a few times over the years and didn't want to leave, but he was happy where he was. Huge contribution, and history will be very kind to him. I think it won't be for another 10 years, and you look back, and he'll be regarded as one of the top people in the same bracket as your kind of Scott Brown, Callum McGregor, maybe Kieran Tierney, these kind of guys. I think the guys at Lustig and all these guys are regarded as kind of heroes of the kind of modern era. I think he'll be right up there.
11 league titles, Fraser. 11. It's pretty astonishing. And as Mick says, he could have left, I imagine, many times for more money. And he as well. I hope he gets a good night tomorrow as well, because he's quite a. He's taken a bit of stick in the past, but maybe his style of play was quite a frustrating player. But he's kind of stuck through that, and as I say, he's a genuine Celtic legend now.
Yeah, as Mick said it himself, he's up there with the Brunies and all the rest of them in terms of medals. I mean, he's never going to be the type of guy that would shout about it either, is he? He's Mr. Quiet. But I mean, if I had 22 winners' medals, I'd be wearing them around my neck every single day of the week. But you don't hear him shouting about it. No, I think, was it 101 goals?
And 100 assists as well, more than 100.
Yeah, incredible, honest. Underrated, another one of those players, underrated. Maybe perfectly suited to spend his whole career at Celtic. Maybe could have gone down south, maybe like Ryan Christie did to Bournemouth and done okay down there. But why not stick up here and win all these medals? And no, an absolutely fantastic servant. Hope he has a great night and a great turnout.
He's a gem of a guy as well. A wee story, I remember, sums up James as a person. I remember he was playing with Scotland. I think it was in Albania with Scotland, and he scored twice, I think it was.
A brilliant performance.
And he was absolutely outstanding. A really tricky, smelly game, and he scored a couple of great goals. And after the game, all the kind of journalists are congregated in the mix zone, hanging about, waiting for the players to come by so we can grab them for interviews. But James had been in getting drug tested, rightly so, after that performance. And so he was the last one to appear. So we're all hanging about, and we want to talk to the goal scorer guy, the man of the match, the goal scorer, and all that stuff. And we're all hanging about, and me, James, saunters through the mix zone. And we're all standing, and we can assume he can walk over towards us, thinking he'd assume that we'd want to talk to him. Just keeps walking. And we said, James, where are you going? He says, oh, you want to talk to me? I'm like, yes, I want to talk to you. The man of the match, the hero of the hour. But he just didn't think that he was that important. That's the kind of guy he is. He's so humble, down to earth. And he was just like, all right. He was kind of surprised that, oh, you want to talk to me? Well, I think so, James. Yeah, come over here.
Mick, that was an Alec McLeish team that struggled. And remember, the very next game, he scored a hat-trick at Hampden against Israel. So all five of Scotland goals from around about 40 caps have come in two back-to-back games. Yep. And there were spells where he was Scotland's best player as well, where he was
Those are big results in terms of getting towards the Euro qualification.
Aye.
But yeah, some of them up, so down to earth, so humble. We spoke to him in Japan and asked about his medals, and I'm like, you remember tripping over them in the house? He said, oh, I don't know, they're in a drawer somewhere, and all that. He's just completely down to earth, like an humble character. And we asked him about this testimonial, and I was like, knowing what he's like as a personality, he's like, he doesn't like being the centre of attention. He's like, I'm really kind of blown away by it and all that stuff, and it's great. He says, but secretly, I'm looking forward to being over something at the limelight. No, he doesn't like all that kind of attention, which is strange for a football player. Do you know what I mean? But that's just the kind of guy he is. He just works his socks off in training. He's a great example to the guys in the training ground, because he turns up every day, knocks his pan in, doesn't complain if he's not playing. If he's on the bench, he'll come on and knock his pan on the pitch again. If he's dropped, or he's not in the team the following week, just goes back to it and waits again for his chance. He's a manager's dream, and he deserves a very good showing tomorrow night.
And off the pitch, that's off the pitch, but on the pitch, it'll be a tough game for Celtic, and you imagine that Rodgers will want as close to his starting lineup as possible ahead of Ross County?
No, I think he's going to play two teams. I think he'll play... Okay. 45s. I think that's the plan. I think we played 245s. So I think it's more about giving minutes to guys. So I think you might see like Naroki and Starfield getting minutes. I don't know about Arthur Johnson and Carter Vickers. They might, you might see him getting a wee taste. I don't know. They might be just a bit behind that one, I think, at the moment. But he'll play 2:45. I think the potential is to play two different teams over 45 minutes. Give him all some minutes and make sure Jamesy gets a good reception.
Throw on his brother for the second half and see if anyone notices the difference.
I think he's still a bit knackered after running out of the Leeds the other day.
You saw that, didn't you?
I've been at Tenka, so that was a shift he had to put in against that Leeds team.
if we assume that Carter Vickers isn't going to be ready for Ross County, Mick, is it Naroki that will partner Starfield, do you think?
It depends. I think they need to get some kind of game time first. But he's, I think, a wee bump before he arrived, but I don't think he's had a good pre-season under his belt. So quite possibly. Then again, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Scales done well. I think Kobayashi got a wee knocking over in Japan as well. So he's been a wee bit not quite there either. I think Starfelt will be fine. So Starfelt, I'd imagine, will be the start and then another. I wouldn't be surprised to see Iwata starting right back against Ross County as well. He's done a lot of work on Iwata over pre-season in that role. And he's looked good, actually. I thought he looked good again.
Thank you. Looks good.
Defensively, maybe not positionally, they're not quite there yet, but I think he could easily get away with that in Scotland, playing there, no problem.
He's really, really tenacious.
In Japan, he was working really closely with Iwata. And he likes him. I think he does like him as a player because he's so versatile. And the other one just does what he's asked to do, no matter where he is in the pitch. And he can play about six different roles. So he'll be a guy, another guy that the manager loves. So I wouldn't say he starts at right back on Saturday until Johnson and Ralston are up to speed. So it'll be interesting to see who gets minutes against Bobal, because if Naroki plays 45 and comes through, it looks okay, he might get chucked right in the weekend. Mm-hmm. But we need to wait and see how it goes tomorrow night.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you both back and have the podcast back. As I say, thanks very much for listening. You can find all of the latest Celtic news at record_sport on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook too. Mick, Fraser, thanks very much.
Cheers, boys. Oh, wait, pick up my octopus, boys.
Enjoy. Thanks for listening.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.